Hello, everyone. Welcome to C-Suite Talks, a podcast that takes you inside some of the most interesting businesses and industries today, explores career success and how we can make a difference. Thank you for joining us on our journey, and welcome to C-Suite Talks. I'm Beth Hilbing, co-CEO of C-Suite.
And I'm Diane Gubin, co-CEO of C-Suite with Beth. This week, we are so happy to be speaking with Pamela Lauper and Kim Castleones. Both are managing directors of Be Destined. So let me tell you a little bit about both of them. Pamela Lauper, Pam is a former healthcare and insurance executive who brings over 30 years of expertise in building and implementing strategies that support revenue growth, organizational effectiveness, and high-performing cultures with a recent focus in M&A. Pam helps business owners achieve their goals by developing and implementing a strategic plan to an exit or a transition. And Kim Castleones, Kim's been supporting entrepreneurs for over 25 years. She understands that entrepreneurship is vital to continued local, regional, and national economic health. And as the former CEO at Circle Bank, Kim had a direct impact on the Bay Area's community she served. Welcome, Pam, and welcome, Kim.
Thank you.
Thank you, ladies, for joining us today. We look forward to talking with you, and thanks for taking the time.
No, thank you for having us.
So I thought let's just go ahead and kick it off kind of with an overview of, if you could kind of walk us through your career journey and how that shaped to where you are today, working with Be Destined and other companies, and what kind of shaped your skills and positions as you went down your career path for our listening audience.
Kim, you want me to start?
Yeah, why don't you start?
Oh, hey, thank you very much. We're delighted to be here. So I would say this. You know, I'm at Be Destined as a result of continuing to say yes, even if I didn't think I was ready. I started my career, I'm the oldest of five children. My mother was a pioneer in financial services. And so I was like her lieutenant. So I had a very strong environment in which to really begin to sharpen my skills, my financial skills as a young female professional. So I work with my mother. She was an investment advisor. She founded and funded and scaled a couple of community banks. So really, I had a great kind of on-the-job training to be where I am today. So I started my career working with her, doing a lot of accounting, portfolio management, working with the clients. And then when an opportunity arose to participate on the board of directors of a local community bank, I was very young. I didn't know if that was really the right thing for me to do, but I said yes anyway. And so that really began my career the next 20 years, where I ultimately became the CEO of a failed institution, which is a whole nother story in and of itself. But I learned a lot as a young female entrepreneur, having accepted that role of being in the financial services, being a young woman in a very male-dominated institution, a very male-dominated industry, as many women are. From there, once the organization was healthy and thriving, we ultimately was sold. Then I went into another entrepreneurial role where I launched a company called Breakaway Funding to introduce a hybrid funding model to help more business owners get greater access to capital. I'm a huge champion of greater access to capital, help businesses thrive. And that's actually where I met Chris Anderson, who's the co-founder of Be Destined. He was presented at my very first webinar at Breakaway Funding. And he introduced this valuation model, which we're actually going to talk a little bit about today. And then later at your event at noon. And I was hooked. I'm like, if I had only known then what I know now, maybe I'd have gotten even more for the bank. So my career is really a result of just saying yes and having the courage and the will to go into an environment that I thought was interesting, that I thought would do good, even if I didn't think I had all the skills. Because at the end of the day, I think one of my message will be here is just say yes. People don't, you know, good things can happen when you say yes. So not so short of an introduction, but there you have it.
No, that was great. You have to open yourself to new experiences for sure. So Pam, why don't you share us with your journey?
Sure. And my journey is very different than Kim's. I actually started working for a Fortune 500 company when I was very young. Insurance at the time, you know, like financial services for Kim, very male dominated for many years. But loved the experience, understood business, how to work with many different people and navigate sort of the large, you know, corporate environment. And it served me very well for a long time. Had a lot of great opportunities to learn, develop new skills, get to try new things. Like Kim says, you have to be willing to like take a risk even if you don't know anything about it. It's amazing what you can learn along your life's journey. And that worked for me for 20 years, and I thought, you know what, I'm ready to do something else. And so I stayed in the healthcare field, forayed into the C-suite. No pun intended, ladies.
Right, that's okay. We're absolute pun. Absolute
but was
pun.
A sales executive, you know, running a sales organization, which was a fantastic, you know, role for me, where I got introduced more into the operational side of the business, which actually I didn't know it then, but prepared me for my next role, which was really working with my husband's company to grow and scale it in a different way than he had in the past. So I sort of took the journey from very large corporate America down to more of the family business, where I was the COO and really brought the organization up to the point of where we actually sold it. And
well,
yeah, unlike Kim, it was, you know, not planned, serendipitous. And I going through that process myself, and making the exit and running that process, boy, I think back now, if I had somebody like us, you know, back then, you know, my experience probably would have been, different. While it wasn't a bad experience, it was an unknown, and going through a transaction is no small feat. So, I think that all of my life experiences in business brought me to where I am today. And what's awesome for me is I knew Chris, but not in a M&A environment, but got reacquainted with him after exiting the business and integrating the companies for 3 years. That, you know what, I think it all brings me to where I am today. So I'm just thrilled to be able to help, you know, business owners. And I love it that you guys were looking at women business owners in particular, because there's so many more net in today's, you know, environment, and, you know, anything we can do to help, it's just been great. Very enriching at a personal level.
That's amazing.
Fabulous. What was the industry you exited, or the business?
Insurance brokerage.
Insurance brokerage. Great. Okay. So let's talk about valuation. You know, valuation is a very nebulous concept. So what is valuation, and how do you define it?
Well, you're going to hear more about this on the webinar today, and I think you guys have heard Kim and I talk about it. Valuation is really all about P times M, the performance metrics times the multiple, and it's a formula, and it's a process that a company goes through, that a third party is really to help them understand where they're at, how a third party might view them, and to help set an expectation for a business owner of about what their business might be worth.
Got it. So performance means, you know, how fast we're growing, right? So what are the factors that go into a performance?
Well, I think what I'd like to do is expand on what Pam was saying about the valuation formula, V equals P times M. You know, it's two components. P is where you are today. How healthy is the organization today? Like, we all get that. And a lot of professionals can work with businesses to say, hey, you can be more efficient here and we can help you drive revenue there. And that's great. That's what you need. But really, for business owners and C-suite executives, understanding what goes into increasing or decreasing the multiple is really where you're going to get the benefit, right? Because there are a lot of things that businesses are involved in that can detract. These are all the risks in your organization, and they can detract if businesses don't really understand and mitigate them. But where we really like to focus at Destined, and where's way more fun, is really building the strategic assets so that you can, business owners can really get the most out of their life's effort, their energy, their resources, and building those strategic assets, because that's what somebody's going to pay for.
No, that's really good.
Define strategic assets. Like, what is that in a business?
What is that wild term? Pam, you want to give it a go?
Sure. I mean, number one, they're hard to do, and you have to build them one at a time. But it's things like your people, your markets and your channels, your products, your systems, and IP, your brand, things like that.
So is that what you see when you engage new CEOs or new companies and you bring them in to work with them on the valuation? What do you commonly see are areas that they are overlooking?
I think broadly, understanding that you need to spend time on building those strategic assets, because that is what's going to make a difference in the valuation. We all spend a lot of time managing and mitigating risks. And it's sort of like doing strategy versus just making sure that, you know, you're running a really efficient organization. Everybody's like, I don't have time for strategy. I'm too busy running the business, right? You're in the business running it. And I think that's the distinction about making sure that you're taking a step back and really developing the strategy and those strategic assets that are going to support that strategy, because that's what's going to move the multiple. And it's getting business owners to understand that that's what's going to make the difference.
Does a corporate culture impact on that? Like, if you have a better corporate culture for people to work, does that make it a better P times M?
You bet. You know, as Pam was saying, building the strategic assets one layer at a time, there is a deliberate order of magnitude in which you actually build the strategic assets with your people. It's really your talent, capabilities, and culture is the very first layer. Because if you don't have a place where people want to come and work, and everybody understands what the vision is, and we're all moving in the same direction, you're going to have chaos. And it's very difficult to build the rest of those layers without having an environment which people want to contribute, right? And where they know that the employer is going to be investing in their capabilities, so that when, as they become more skilled and the company grows and there's new opportunities, they will be positioned to advance in their own careers. So yeah, culture is very, very important.
So why do companies bring in a third party to help? Like, isn't this something that we could do on our own?
All right. So it's interesting. And I'm going to give it a client example that we have right now. And the thing about when you have your own company, you know, you have a lot of emotion tied up in that company. When we sold our company, my husband had a ton of emotion. I didn't have that emotion. And how you think about the value and the worth of your company, because number one, that's what you've built over time, right? The third party actually gives you that objective opinion that's based on, you know, metrics that are quantifiable, as opposed to an emotion of my business is great, my revenue is great, my profits have been, you know, stable, blah, 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 blah. And you sort of have this idea about what you believe your business is worth. And we have found more times than not that the business owners do not have perspective on what the value of their business is, because they don't understand what Kim was talking about, you know, some of those strategic assets and versus the risk, and understanding how that third party is going to look at them.
Yeah, no, I can totally see that. Yeah.
I want to go back to maybe give you an analogy of what Pam was sharing. Let's say, for example, you decided you owned a house and you wanted to sell it. You absolutely can put a for sale sign by owner on the front lawn, and you might get the price you're looking for. But what if you brought in a stager, they moved some of the furniture around, they made it a little appealing, maybe you did some landscape, you had the trees trimmed, right? And you hired a realtor to do the marketing and to do the sales on your behalf. It's another way of doing it. You will probably, can't guarantee, but you're probably going to get a better price for the house because you've invested some time and energy with a professional who's going to come in and really showcase it in its best form. So I think that, as Pam was saying, you know, there is all of that, all of the emotions of, and trying to kind of decouple your persona. A lot of us as entrepreneurs, we are our business, right? And then what happens if we're going to sell it and we have some bias, etc. But I think it's good to bring somebody in to not only deal with the issues that Pam brought out, but also because you're likely to get better bang for your buck, if you will, by bringing in somebody who knows what to do in order to command a higher price.
Okay. No, that makes total sense. And also, I'm sure at the executive level, they value that third-party opinion very much.
And when does a company bring you in? Is it like 2 years before you want to sell, 5 years before you want to sell, next month? Like, when does a company actually bring you in to help them?
So, you know what? That's a great question, and it's all over the map. What we really love is getting in there early. And the reason we do, because a lot of, again, I'm going to go back to the emotional part of selling a business or making a decision that you're going to exit your business at some point in the near future, is that what we find is business owners will say, okay, I know I need to do this. And so they, you know, we get engaged with them. But while they might be ready to start that journey of exiting their business may not be in the best place, as Kim was talking about, to really kind of showcase their business. So, you know, we like to get involved anywhere from 2 to 5 years in advance of a business owner actually selling their business. And I say it's all over the map because, you know, you've seen one company and you've seen one company. And some are in a better readiness state for an exit than others. But ideally, what we do at BeDestined, and one of the ways that we're different, is we have a relationship with all of our clients. You know, we're not a transactional firm that's just there to sell the business and get out. We're there about how do we, you know, manifest, you know, the outcome, you know, with the business owner that's a win-win for both them and the potential buyer. So we spend a lot of time getting to know them, understanding what's important. You know, maybe their employees are really important. There's a lot of different, you know, elements for each business owner. So we try to really make sure we understand what their goal is and that we're then able to, you know, customize the process specific to them so we can, you know, realize that outcome.
So Beth and I had the privilege, and it's such an honor, to go through a program that you did for our peer CEO group. And during that program, you talked about a company that was a janitorial service that started off knocking on like office park doors. And next thing you know, this janitorial service became regional. Then they started doing airports, and then they went international, right? So at what point did you help them like stage their growth curve? Or was it just an exit that you came in for?
No, the company is still around. They're still operating and they're still growing. I think we've been working with the company for about 10 years, 7 to 10 years. So, and I think that one of the interesting things, Diane, is one of the things that we can help business owners get comfortable with is really what is their vision and when are they actually looking for a transition? Sometimes it's people have a specific time period. Like, I want to be retiring, I want to be with my grandchildren, like me now, I have a 12-day-old granddaughter.
Congratulations.
Yeah, that's awesome.
You know, so thank you, I want to be out there in 5 years, or I'm looking to have an exit my company at 20 million, right? So really part of what we can help business owners understand is really what is their destiny, where do they want to go? And the reason why we need some time to help businesses actually get to their best them is because, as Pam was saying, a lot of companies aren't ready yet. They're not ready for prime time. And so it does take time to invest in these assets, to build them, to secure them. It just takes a little bit of time. It also takes time for the business owner to get comfortable with what's next for them, right? We spend all these weekends and holidays, you know, sacrificing, going in and building our one of our most significant assets, and then what's next for us. So it really, time is really important to be able to make the best decisions to position the company and the business owner for that ultimate event, if you will.
So, you know, as we've transitioned over the last couple of years and with the businesses and so forth, have you seen more people trying to exit their companies versus trying to grow? Kind of what's the landscape been over the last 2 years?
So for us specifically, I would say last year, mid-year, those business owners that were sitting on the sidelines with COVID, not understanding what it meant, what's the outcome, how am I going to do and my business going to do through this, you know, unknown event that we were all experiencing, we've really seen a uptick in business owners, you know, being much more comfortable moving forward with an exit. I think, number one, their organizations, they've been able to effectively, whether it's pivoting, whether it's, you know, just readying their business for COVID and what's next. I think they feel like they're not going to get a big discount because the market's unknown and you know, people are going to just try to pick up, you know, businesses that maybe are in distress. So I think people feel like the market's very stable. It's very actually robust for M&A, and they've become very comfortable with where we are at this point in time. So the great news is, you know, we certainly have seen a big uptick and are actually very busy on the transaction side right now.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Fantastic. Great. And if there were three things or a few things that you'd want CEOs to know and that, you know, you're coming in from the outside and you're, what should CEOs address within their companies to get to that P times M?
I think the first thing I would say is get clear on where you want to go, right? Because if you don't, any path will take you there. And that's a lot of wasted energy and resources.
That's life too.
Yeah, I know.
Yes.
So get clear with, you know, where is your there? The rest of it becomes a lot more fundamental, right? So the decisions, the lens through which you're making these decisions should be in alignment with where you're there is. The second thing is get help. Now, the good thing for women is we're accustomed to asking for help. So that's, you know, I think we've got that benefit over our male counterparts because we're, I would say generally speaking, we're not embarrassed to ask for help. We know that, you know, help brings good, you know, good fruit. And the third thing I would say is, look, be willing to be brave, to be courageous, be willing not to fail, and be willing to hold yourself and others accountable for their performance. We don't like to be the bad guy or the bad lady, right? We want everybody to love us and nurture us. That's just our nature. But that you don't get that luxury in business. So you have to be willing to get uncomfortable on a lot of different levels. So, you know, get your vision, be clear with your vision, get help, and, you know, be willing for anything. Just say yes, right, to a lot of things.
Be open. Like, I think you have to be open too, just to other ideas and what other people are telling you.
No, that's really sound advice. And as we kind of wrap it up, I think that you said some of your key takeaways and what the CEOs should think. But if you look at our audience of emerging leaders and C-suite executive, is there any nugget, not just in what you're currently doing, but along your path that you would like to share with them? And so let's take that to each one. So Kim, you start and then we'll go to Pam.
Sure. I would say be brave enough to ask for what you want. If I was just talking to my sister who lives in Australia and she had been offered a job, was a promotion with money, but it was going to require her to commute 2 hours. And when she did the math, she wasn't going to be ahead very much. And I said to her, why don't you just go back to them, thank them, and ask for additional compensation? And guess what? She did, and they are. So that's not going to be true all the time, but I think women have to be willing to ask for what they are worth because we're smart, we're committed, and we contribute. So don't be afraid to ask for what you're worth.
Congratulations to your sister. That's great.
I'm not sure she wanted me to share that with you, but and what's the worst I can say?
So Pam, what do you think?
So compensation aside, I mean, my experience has always been to try to learn as much as I can. And you know what? That it's not my job. You know, if you're going to have that mindset, you're going to get stuck or you're going to get put in a box. So I've just always been open to new things, as Kim said, being courageous, things I didn't know about, and helping other people. And I have found that by making myself open and available to others, I learned something, I'm enriched in the process, and you know what, it has paid dividends, you know, for me in my career that, you know what, if you are helping others, you know, I believe in the rising tide floats all boats, and you know what, supporting, you know, men or women, it, you know what, you're going to come out ahead, you're going to benefit, you know, through your experience. And so I've just always sort of been, you know, of that mindset that, you know, whatever I can do to help and not be narrow around, oh, that's not my job, I'm not going to do that. Again, it's more of a mindset for me than anything about just, you know, being open and willing to help other people. And it helps you too in the process.
No, both of you had some very sound advice for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. I would like to add one thing, and don't be afraid to show up in new places. Because when you show up in new places, it allows the universe to bring, you know, kind of new people into your experience so that you get those opportunities that Pam and Kim just discussed.
Absolutely.
Well, we want to thank you both for joining us today as we kind of conclude. You can reach both of them at bedestined.com. And, you know, whether you are ready to sell, transfer, or grow, Bedestined can guide you to your business journey. I love that. That was great.
Terrific. Thank you, Pam, and thank you, Kim. Thank you to our listeners today. We really appreciate Pamela Whopper, Kim Castleonis, the managing directors of Bedestined. And a thank you to our sponsors. They include Google, the law firm of Manette, employee benefits firm Woodruff Sawyer, accounting firm RSM, and executive search and IT consulting firm Amplify Professional Services, Amplify Search. Thank you for listening.
And please hit the subscribe button on Apple, Spotify, everywhere you find your podcasts. Leave us a review, positive, of course. And follow us on social media, LinkedIn, Twitter, and Instagram. We love hearing from you. Send us your email, media@csuite.org, and check out our website and get active and involved at www.csuite.org.
C-S-W-E-E-T.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you, ladies.
Thank you.